title of my sermon this morning is More Than Expected. Let me just say this before I get into it. You know, when I was young.
You're still young.
Hallelujah. The vrou. So I'm still young. I was younger. Okay. When I had hair. It was a while ago. Okay. But, you know, I never looked at myself, or when I thought about myself at that point, there was nothing significant. You know, I was never good enough when I looked at myself. And I think even as I stand here today before you, I can say I received more than expected. You know, I didn't have huge dreams for my life. I wasn't this, you know, I wasn't chasing anything. You know, even the one thing that I wanted to do, and that's be an architect, I never got to do because my math wasn't good enough. Me and school weren't so... Yeah, we didn't see one another. I mean, me and school, you know, it's just like, whoa, why do you do this? So I struggled through school. I used to do stuff in lower grade, if you know what that is. Yep. Like I wasn't the higher grade achiever, never the best in the class. You know, kind of never, nobody worries about you because they know you're going to achieve there. And it is easy when you're in that part of your life to look at your life and go, but I'm worthless. And I think that's probably why so many teens all over the world commit suicide. Because they're in this phase of life where they think, I'm not good enough. I won't add up to anything. And then I want to say, but God. You know, I was a complete introvert when I wasn't saved when I was young. Younger. And when Jesus met me, and I'm not saying this is true for everybody, but that aspect of my life changed. I still got my introvert streaks. But God changed me into a person that are able to do this. I remember the first time, and I think I've said this before, but I remember the first time in small group where they turned around and said to me, will you read the scripture? I nearly had a heart attack. Because at that point, reading was an issue for me. So when I read it, it's like I stuttered. And that you needed interpretation of tongues by the time I was done reading the scripture. So for me, it was a massive thing, just bringing this little gift, thinking that it's worthless. God can't, how can God even use this? I got more than I expected. I stand here today. It's a joy being a pastor of a congregation. It's a joy serving God. I don't have no issues. Still have my stuff. And yet God chooses to use me. I got more than I expected. And the reality is I'm not done yet. And so many of us are sitting here and like I said, you know, even the word. Maybe you're struggling with stuff and maybe you think you're not going to make it. Maybe, I don't know. You're at your wit's end. I want to say to you, we serve a God of the unexpected, who can do incredible things in our lives in a moment. And yes, the thing is just that intimacy with Him, just pursuing Him. So I'm going to ask you to turn to John 3. Turn, find it, flick it. I don't know what you're going to use this morning. Thank you, Eskom, for allowing us to read real Bibles again this morning. All right, so are you in John 3? All right, so I want to start off with this verse 1. And it says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. So who was Nicodemus? He was a Pharisee. All right, part of the Sanhedrin. He was the main man. Okay, it says there, a ruler of the Jews. So he had a prominent position in his country. People knew him. If Nicodemus walked around down the road, they knew who he was. Probably consulted a lot. People sought him out, wanted to speak to him, get wisdom from him. This is Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Verse 2 says, this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. Now, for me, I don't know about you, but obviously the fact that Nicodemus now comes at night, stealth mode, you know, slowly, you know, Jesus. Because he knew, everybody knew him, and if he went in the day, it would be evident to people that he's now looking at Jesus. Okay, now I think they say that, you know, because he was a teacher of the law and he was a leader, he probably came to Jesus to sort of find out, you know, to check what he's teaching, you know, similar to you know, when we ask someone to preach, I want to know what they're going to say, you know, are they going to preach scripture, are they going to talk something that I'm not comfortable with or whatever. So maybe he came to Jesus in that way, that he wanted to find out, you know, how's this affecting the people that God has called him to lead? That's the one. On the other side, at this point in his life, I wonder, you know, maybe he was thinking, and this is me, I'm not really saying this is true, but maybe he's thinking, you know, if me and Jesus can hook up, maybe we can do some great things here in Israel. You know, his anointing, you know, stuff happening, his teaching, and so on, and my leadership, and we can shift everything. I don't know. I wondered about that as I was reading the fact that he was coming by night to see Jesus. What was his motive when he came to Jesus? Now, how many of you know, so many times in Scripture, people come to Jesus, they ask a question, it seems like he doesn't answer them at all. Yeah. They ask this question, he gives that answer. And you kind of, Jesus, did you hear him? This is not what he's asking. Okay? So clearly, Nicodemus was watching Jesus. Clearly, he was standing from a way, looking, and he was intrigued about what Jesus is doing and how he's doing and how God is moving through Jesus. He couldn't deny that God was powerfully with this man, because who can do the signs that you do? Powerful signs that touched his life. Now, it's almost like Nicodemus, when he comes, he's kind of got this plan. He's thinking, you know, he's obviously got an agenda. He wants to do it at night because he doesn't want other people to see him. And how many of you have ever come to God with your way, your plan, thinking, you know, I thank you for those confessions. You know, you've thought through your plan. You've said to, you know, maybe you've even written it down. You're like, you know, this and that, and you know, I've got this plan. And then you come to Jesus. You know, your plan makes a lot of sense. Surely he must approve the plan. And then Jesus doesn't seem to listen. You present your stuff, your plan, your thought, your question, and it's like he doesn't listen. And he gives an answer, which to you in that moment is like, what? I don't get this, Lord. What is this about? Where are you going with this? Now, Nicodemus, I think he had this moment. Well, now he comes and he actually compliments Jesus, and he goes like, you're a ruler. I can see God is using you, you know. And then Jesus gives his answer in verse 3. And Jesus answered him and says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, when you read this, I mean, I'm like, wow, Lord, he comes. I mean, you actually cut him off. Nah? It's like I recognize he didn't even get to the point where he now wants to ask his question or express anything. It's like, I recognize you, ruler, unless you're born again. Huh? Was it just me? But this is, I don't know, Jesus. This is crazy. Now, can you see Nicodemus's response in verse 4? He says, Nicodemus said to him, what? I read that in there. In any case, how can a man be born when he is old? Now, I can imagine Nicodemus's brain thinking this, born again. So now you want me to go back into my mother's womb and come out again. The poor woman, having two sons, have been at birth. It's bad enough when it's a 3.6 kg. So I can just think Nicodemus in this picture that's going on. What are you saying, Jesus? Must I now go back in my mother's womb when I'm old and be born twice? What, I'm going to have two belly buttons? What's going to happen here? Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born? Freaked out. Love it when Jesus does that to other people. But when he speaks to me, and I come with one thing, and he presents another thing, then I go, what? Lord, what are you saying? Well, Jesus had a plan. And for Nicodemus, this is revelation time. This is him encountering Jesus in the way that he did not expect at night. He didn't bargain on this when he came to him. Now again, he was a ruler. He kept the law. He did everything right. I mean, probably he thought, I am fine with God. I'm in a good place with the Lord. And now Jesus, in a sense, takes him on and says, unless you are born again. And I think that struck him in that he thought he was okay. You know, he's part of the Sanhedrin. Later, he's one of the guys that when Jesus comes to be judged, he's the one that fights for him and says, you know, can we crucify a man unless he has an opportunity to speak and so on. So something happened between this moment and later in Scripture where the way that he encounters Jesus. But here, when he comes and Jesus confronts him with this new thing called being born again, in verse 10, actually, Jesus takes him on and says, you as a ruler of the people should know this. So, you know, you read the Scripture, Nicodemus. You study it. Why don't you know this? So can you see that for Nicodemus, this was hectic. What Nicodemus is hearing is that Jesus is saying, I'm trying to get into the kingdom in the wrong way. And Jesus is saying, you should know this. You should know what I'm trying to tell you. See, but Nicodemus has never heard of this. This is a new concept to him. For us, this side of Scripture, we can read him and go like, yeah, born again. Obviously, man. But for Nicodemus, this was one of those things where, no, this is a bit much. So I can only think that his brain was going at full tilt at that moment. Now, here's the thing. In the same way, when God speaks to us, we often try and process what God's word is through our reality, our experience. You see, up to that point, Nicodemus had a certain lifestyle, a certain way of reading Scripture and understanding Scripture. Now he's encountering Christ and he's filtering this word through everything that he knows. Sometimes we do the same. We filter the stuff through our reality, our understanding. But here's the thing. God doesn't want us to get stuck there. He wants to lead us deeper, to a deeper understanding of what he is about to do. You know, maybe even if we say, you know, I said last Sunday, what do you believe God's prophetic word for the church right now? What is God's prophetic word for you now? And if you hear that prophetic word, the truth is this, is that I filter it automatically through my reality. Now, if we hear the word of the Lord right now, and I said that last Sunday, is that The one thing we need is to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Lord speaks to us, please don't get freaked out when he says something that different to what we expect. And let us not take what he's saying, filter it through our limited understanding and say, but this is not going to happen. You see, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. That is going to happen. There's incredible revival and stuff that's going to happen. You know what? Because he said so. Not because you and I are able to make it happen. One of the things that I'm struggling with in a sense at the moment is my patience in waiting for God just to move. You see, I want God to move. I want to see incredible miracles and lots of people saved, but I can't make it happen. And I have to have this patience. So I have to learn to be patient and wait upon the Lord. Because, you know, I understand Scripture says something about if I wait upon him, I will run and not get weary. I will walk and not faint. So, Quibus, relax. John 3, verse 6 says this. Jesus answering Nicodemus, he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh. Two truths here. Two truths. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Congratulations. You are flesh, 100%. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So in actual fact, Jesus is saying to him, Nicodemus, my man, don't try and understand the spiritual things by looking through it through fleshly eyes at what I'm saying to you. Do not even marvel at this, because what is born of the flesh, if you're going to try and do this, so in actual fact, Jesus is probably accusing him that up to this point, you've been walking in the flesh, Nicodemus. You've been keeping the law and everything by your own strength. But I'm calling you higher. I'm calling you deeper. I'm calling you to a different understanding of what I'm saying to you. And this is our challenge, is that we are flesh. Just congratulate someone next to you maybe and say, listen, well done. But can we understand this, that which we produce in the flesh has to be sustained by the flesh? If I give birth to something in the flesh, I am the one that has to raise it. I understand that. But when it's birthed in the Spirit, everything changes. Now, here's the thing, what I'm thinking. In this season that we are right now, how are we giving birth to stuff? Is it in the flesh? Or is it in the Spirit? And the Lord help us that it's not in the flesh. And maybe we're running around like headless chickens because we're birthing stuff in the flesh. Therefore, I must keep it alive. I must feed it. Look after it. Watch it. Have you noticed that takes a lot of time?
Patience.
See, if I breathe life into something, that's my life. But by the Spirit of God, if there's life that He breathes into, if it's birthed from Him, things change. You see, Jesus says, when things are born in the Spirit, then that Spirit there is a capital S, which means it's the Holy Spirit. God will sustain it. He will make things happen. In actual fact, He releases His power. So He's saying to Nicodemus, when the things are born by the Spirit, the power of God is released upon this moment, on that which is coming, and He sustains it. He makes it happen. See, when it's When I give birth to it, I'm in control. When it's born by the Spirit, I have to subject myself to God and what He wants to do and how He wants to do it. And I have to have the patience to allow God to do what He wants to do and not interfere. I know none of you do that. Never. Where we interfere in something. When I heard the word of the Lord that you will be in ministry, I cannot tell you what kicked into this brain. The stuff that I planned to do to get to ministry. And yet God chose a completely different route. You see, a life that is born by the Spirit of God has unlimited potential. I want to say that again. A life that is born by the Spirit of God has unlimited potential. There is no cap to what God can do through a life that is surrendered by Him, to Him. A life that is full of the Spirit of God can do anything. 2 Timothy, I want to read this to you. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6 to 10. And here's the thing. Okay, he says, "For this reason, I remind you," this is Paul speaking to or writing to Timothy. He says, "Hey, Timothy, I want to write this to you that you need to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." First thing, fan into flame that which I've placed in you. Secondly, verse 7, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love," and the subscripture says sound mind. This one says that I've got here a self-control. Recognize the Spirit of God that has been placed in you. That born-again spirit is a spirit of love, power, and self-control, a sound mind. So if you're all over the place, maybe you're in the wrong spirit. Because this is the spirit that we have received. Verse 8, "Do not be ashamed of the testimony about the Lord, our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in the sufferings of the gospel by the power of God." Verse 9, "Who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works," there's nothing that I've done, "but because of his own purpose and grace." His own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Paul is encouraging Timothy here to see a few things. Firstly, the fact that he needs to fan in the flame the gift. Maybe some of us sitting here, you've stopped fanning into flame the gift that God has placed in your life. Maybe you've shunned it. Maybe you look at it with disgrace and you say that's not good enough. I want to tell you to fan into flame that which God has called you, because He has placed His Spirit within you to be able to do what He has called you to do. But you need to fan into flame that which He has placed in you. You know, it's a good thing to surround yourselves with people that are going to call out those things that God has placed within you. Not the people that's going to break you down and say stupid stuff about you, but those that are going to speak life into you, that's going to call out that stuff so that the will of God can be done through your life. And then he says, do not be ashamed. Timothy, be bold, man. Just go for it. Do what God has called you to do. Now, Lord, I'm not sure what to do. Might be your declaration this morning. Maybe the question, Lord, I do not know what to do. My answer to you is fan into flame that which God has placed within you. But Lord, I'm weak and I'm struggling. But I have given you a different spirit. One of love, power, and a sound mind. But it's hard, Lord. It's really hard. Says, Timothy, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Even though it's hard, even though you're struggling, do not be ashamed. Even if you have to suffer for it, go for it, because I'm with you. Lord, but I feel unworthy. I'm so unworthy. I cannot do this. I have saved you. I have called you. You are mine. I have called you with a holy calling. I have set you apart. Because I've set you apart for good works, for great works in my name. Maybe we will be a lot less tired if we do this. If I find myself in a place where I'm busy with what he is. You see, we have received more than expected. You have received more than expected. Maybe you've hid it. Maybe it's time to dig it up again. I believe we got more than we bargained for. The reality is we should have received death. We receive eternal life. So can we live like we have received eternal life? I want to do that. I have to choose whether I'm going to live from the flesh or whether I'm going to live from the spirit. That's my choice. Am I going to give birth to stuff in the flesh or are going to give birth to stuff by the Spirit of God? So how do I operate in the Spirit? Well, I think it's that thing of from intimacy to function. Not function to intimacy, like I said last week. I have to live from a place where there's intimacy, which will lead to function. And maybe right now we are in that place where we are more about function and less about intimacy. If you are tired and weary, my first question to you now is going to be, how's your intimacy? If there's no intimacy, then I understand that you're tired. Because you're giving birth to stuff in the flesh. But when I'm in intimacy, and I give birth to stuff from that place of intimacy, I will be energized. I will run and not get weary. I will walk and not faint. Why? Because the source is life. I've got this much life. You know what's in these games? You've got that thing. Life bar. Nah. My life bar is like, it's not a bar one for seker. It's not a 24 hour, but this boy goes like this. Eh? I sleep, it's there. I wake up, it's there. Yeah. 10 o'clock, man, I need the source. But when I plug into the source of life, everything. This, you know that game where you can play and then you can say unlimited life? It never dies. Cheat code. Cheat codes. We've got a cheat code. The Holy Spirit. So how do I walk from or operate from the Spirit? Is I from that place of intimacy to function. By making sure that my spiritual disciplines are in order. My Bible reading, my prayer, my fellowshipping with the saints, there's so many disciplines that we just neglect. Okay? By obeying the call of Matthew 28, 18 to 20 and Mark 16, 15 to 18. By actually going. By not being a dam. And going. Allow God to use this vessel for His glory. And I want to say by being baptized in water, being baptized in the Spirit. If we do that, things look different. Colossians 1. I'm almost done. Says this. Verse 27. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Turn to one, say to them, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then verse 28 says this, Him we proclaim, warning everyone, teaching everyone with all wisdom, that they may present, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the key. It's not you, but it's Christ in you. And because I've got Christ in me, I can minister from that place of overflow. So let me close with this. You are God's agent of the more than expected. You know, when someone meets you, they're getting more than they're expecting. You see, they're just thinking they're meeting another human being. But they are meeting someone that's been born by the Spirit of God, who flows in the gifts of God, who has the fruit of the Spirit on their lives. And through that overflow, you now start ministering. Because I have been intimate with Him, I can fulfill this function. Because I am with Him, this person is going to get more than they expected. It was, if I can use this as an example, we were here the other day, and a guy walks in and was looking for
the cleaners.
The cleaners, yeah, whatever. And we started chatting. Shame. He got more than he expected. I had an awesome time ministering to this guy, and I had the door. He couldn't leave. And the Lord encountered him right there, and I had the privilege of just chatting to him, speaking life over this guy because I know Jesus. So be that agent of the more than expectant. You are born again by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. You have got unlimited potential. You have been set free. You know what that means? You are free. It's quite profound. You are no longer under bondage, but you are free. I've said this before, but can we walk like those that are free? Yeah. I'm free. I'm so free, man. I'm free. No, when I'm free. You meet the unexpected when you meet me. You see, there is an answer to your question that you have for God this morning. It might just not be the one that you're expecting. You are going, God, deliver me. He may be saying, I want to use this to encounter other people's lives. You are falling apart, and through your brokenness, He wants to minister to people. Amen. Can we allow God to be God in our lives?
Amen.
Amen.